What times do you want?
So it's, is it 14 minutes? Sure. That sounds good. Hi, I'm Jess, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And I'm really glad to be here at this meeting. It's been a while since I've been to a Promises meeting, so I'm just really, I'm glad that we're doing it this year. I guess it happens every year, but some years I'm aware of it and some years I'm not. And I think it's just such a great opportunity to talk about what program has done for me and to hear what it's done for everyone else. And so true confession time, all week I was a bit nervous about this and I thought, oh my God, I need a thesis, I need to have like a plan and I need to have it all, you know, organized and here are the principles and here's blah, blah, blah. And it was driving me crazy, and I was still doing that until like 4 o'clock this afternoon, like having these crazy thoughts, and I just thought, whoa, that is like the antithesis of what this is about. So I took a bath, and I laid down for a little while, and I had my snack, and I got in my car, and here I am. So I want to say that I did prepare, but I'll probably sound very unprepared because none of it made sense in my mind. And the thing that came to me when I was driving was, you know, the promises. I mean, the promises have come true, are coming true. I mean, it's not, I think part of my nervousness is feeling like, well, all of the promises have not come true for me, so I must not have done my steps correctly and, you know, all that crap. And, but it's a process. It's not an event, I think. And I think the steps are a process for me continually, and it's a lifelong endeavor. So I just say that to kind of calm myself down. And maybe that will help you too. So the promises are really for me about, like, what I want to talk about really is just the gratitude that I have for the program and how different my life is today. Than it was before I came into program, surely, and, you know, different than it was a year ago and 5 years ago. And for anybody who doesn't know me, I'll just qualify quickly. So I'm Jess B., and I live in Washington, D.C., and I have been coming to OA actually almost exactly, let's see, it would be 16 years on the I believe it's the 31st of March. I went to my first meeting at the Friendship Meeting, 8 o'clock in Alexandria at the Farlington United Methodist Church. I did not love that meeting. I did not want to be there. It wasn't so much the meeting. I just really did not want to be there. And I felt like I had really plummeted to the lowest depths to be in a church basement, you know, with all the huggy people and hand-holding and all that crap that I really didn't want, but I was so desperate. And, you know, I was about 70 pounds over the weight that I am today. I was, I guess about, let's see, how old would I have been? Oh my gosh, that will make me do math. I think 36. And I was unhappy in my relationship. I was unhappy in work. I felt like 100 years old. My body hurt everywhere. My stomach hurt, my head hurt, my hips, my knees, my feet, everything. I felt like I was 100 years old, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And so some kind person actually answered the phone and said, you're in luck, there's a meeting tonight. And I thought, who the hell would go to a meeting on a Wednesday night? But I did. You know, you go on Monday. And I really was not happy to be there, but I heard people talking about what the kinds of stuff that I did with food and the kinds of thoughts that I had, and I knew that it was the right place for me to be. So I just have kept coming back ever since. I count my abstinence from July 26, 1999, and I've been maintaining my weight, a healthy weight, since sometime into that abstinence, you know, once I got abstinent. So to talk about the steps and the promises of the steps. This is really great because I hadn't really seen this all compiled before either, and it's just really nice to have it all together here. So step one, being teachable. I became teachable. I really did. And giving up old thought and behavior patterns. Well, certainly the first behavior pattern, old thought, was if I have the perfect diet and if I am thin, I will be happy and my life will be perfect and I will have no problems. And I will tell you that even after many years in recovery and being at a, you know, healthy body weight, I had some of my craziest, most some of my scariest, craziest days. So I say that just to say that it's nice to have physical recovery, and it's awesome, and I'm grateful for that. But it's also about the emotional and spiritual recovery, and that is a continual process, as is the physical. As we get older, it just gets more interesting. I did try to control my eating and my weight, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And today, I don't do that. I follow a food plan that works for me. I work with a nutritionist so that, you know, if that, as I've aged or different things, there was a point in recovery where I had major surgery and I had to kind of deal with that and figure out how to do that. I follow those directions, and that has given me physical recovery. I've gotten great emotional and spiritual recovery. More and more these days, my life really feels sort of centered around the spiritual recovery. I was talking to my sponsor this week about how, you know, prayer and I've had a pretty regular conscious contact with a higher power for a long time and do a lot of prayer, but meditation, you know, not so much. And a few years ago, it started to feel like it was really actually not optional anymore. Like, I mean, it really isn't, but I just kept thinking it was. It would be like nice to do, but, you know, that's nice to do, but I don't need to do that. Well, I really got to the point where I was like, yeah, I absolutely need to do this because my mind just at work would just feel so cluttered and I just would feel, you know, a lot of craziness around things. My marriage was falling apart, and I just really needed that daily practice. And so that's been a new thing, and that's a new behavior, and it's something that I really treasure because I feel so much more peace and at ease in myself than I did, and I think a lot of that is from that. Step two, I'll just say that I like to share this in meetings because I don't hear this very often, and people frequently after I share this will say, thank you for saying that. So here's my confession. I am a devout agnostic. I absolutely believe in a higher power. I have tons of evidence of a higher power in my life. And, you know, call me if you want to hear about all the details of that. I'd be happy to share it with you. But I don't really know what that higher power is. It changes. It's different depending on, I don't know what. You know, sometimes that relationship feels kind of more personal and more intimate, and other times it feels kind of farther away. And I think that some of that probably has to do with the amount of prayer and meditation that I'm doing. So these days it feels pretty, you know, I feel pretty tight with my higher power and pretty like in tune. And that's been just a huge thing for me because, you know, I grew up in a way where, you know, we didn't really talk about God. I went to church because it's what you did. You had to go to church, you know, but there was no demonstration of anything that I heard in church actually being practiced anywhere around me. I could not see that anywhere. So it was like, so what does this mean? Like, this is sort of like a lot of, you know, this, but so it didn't mean much to me. And then I had a difficult childhood and a difficult time, a lot of neglect. And I just thought, you know, if there's a God, if there's a higher power, hey, like, why is this so hard? But, you know, thinking back now, it's like it just didn't look like I thought it would. You know, for me, my higher power a lot of times is like I'm looking through the window right there and I can see the trees, and it's like, you know, that for me is higher power, or looking at all of you and seeing your faces and coming in here. Like when I came into this meeting, I just felt like, oh, here are friendly faces and people I know and love and who know and love me, and that's my higher power. How much time do I have? Okay. Better get to step three. Let's see if there's anything else I want to say about this. Well, the promise, I've certainly been relieved of the compulsion to overeat for today. And, you know, sometimes I was sharing with someone recently, she said, do you ever feel the cravings? And, you know, I really don't, but sometimes I am really interested in snack time coming a little bit sooner. Like at work, I'm like, is it not 10:30 yet? Because it really... You know, nope, it's 9. It's not time for my snack. But the other thing is the compulsion to look to other people to validate me as a human being, and like I have worth because you think I'm good and you're smiling at me and I got an A, or you know, you asked me out on a date or whatever, that means I'm good, right? I have a lot less of that sort of compulsion to kind of grasp after that, which is huge. Step three. So in this, the promise talks about the ability to live within guidelines and the willingness to do that. I do that today. I follow directions. You know, I follow a food plan. I exercise, I pray and meditate, I take on challenges at work that scare the living daylights out of me, because I feel that, you know, I've been put in this place precisely to do that, to do things that will make me grow up. That's been a big part of my recovery lately, is like, oh, you know, I'm 50, almost 2 years old, and it might actually be time to act like a grown-up and take responsibility and stop blaming other people for things that I feel miserable about, or things that I can't control, or, you know, feeling like a victim. That's huge. That's been a huge part of my story, and actually that has been lifting and is increasingly being relieved. It's like, I don't know, I said to my therapist, well, maybe it's just getting older. He said, no, a lot of people get older and they never get to that. And I thought, okay, all right, maybe I am actually making progress. I feel more comfortable being me and telling my truth and, you know, hearing truth through others. That intuition, you know, saying yes when I, you know, the little sort of scared part of me wants to say, no, I don't, you know, I don't want to run that meeting. I don't want to be in charge of that project. I'm always telling my boss, I have no ambition. I don't want your job or anybody else's job. I just want to be quiet and have people leave me alone. And he is, you know, not totally on board with that. And that's a good thing. That's really a good thing. Let's see. I'll just close by saying, you know, step three is really about, for me, has been about letting go of fear. And that's really about trusting that everything's actually okay. Like early in the program, I used to call a woman who, she's actually since deceased, but she is someone who had such a strong program, and she was just this quiet little, I don't know, she's like this little program dynamo. And I would call her and I'd be like, ah! You know, like freaking out, and she'd listen, very, you know, And then she'd say, and how are you right now? And I'd be like, I am fine. I'm actually fine. You know, it would like bring me back to like, you know what? I am okay in the moment. If I'm out there and like, oh my God, what's going to happen then, you know, in 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 years, I'm sunk. But if I can just stay in the present, which is where my higher power is, you know, it's pretty easy to have faith because I see evidence all around me that everything's okay, even when things are hard. I don't have to, I guess the last thing that I'll say is so much of the disease for me and the comfort of the food and, you know, other substances was about, I can't handle the feelings that I'm having. They are way too much. The rage, the terror, the ecstasy, the whatever. And today, I can feel my feelings, and I don't need to eat over them. And that is amazing. So thank you very much.